Right. We have to do that, and we want to do that because we are five stations right here at Tantalk Network. Three AM stations, and those are 1350 AM, 1400 AM, and 1340 AM. And now, over for the last year or so, two FM stations, 106.1 FM across most of Tampa Bay. And up where Shell is in Wesley Chapel, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, we're at 104.3 FM. So whichever works better on those FM stations is the best way to hear a clear signal. 104.3 FM in the northern part of our Tampa Bay area, 106.1 FM across Pinellas County and most of Tampa Bay and Brandon and that area. So wherever you're listening to us, welcome. Always you can go to the website here and listen live, and that is TantalkNetwork.com. It used to be Tantalk1340.com. That still works, but the new website name is TantalkNetwork.com. So wherever you're listening to us, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister of Beacon of Hope Ministries, along with my associate pastor, Jim Ellsbury, and Shell, one of our prayer team leaders and one of our faithful members for, gosh, about as long as PJ's been around. Pastor Jim, Shell, you and Diana.
It's been around a year or two longer, but it's getting up there.
Well, pretty much. I mean, you guys have been around for a long time. Yeah. Faithful since like
eight. Keeps me going.
Amen. 2008 or 2009. Do either of you have anything you'd like to say about people giving financially to the ministry? PJ, your treasurer, do you have anything you want to say?
Please.
Oh, please. Okay. God always supplies our needs,
and we rarely, you know.
We don't beg for money. We never do.
We just kind of mention it.
Yeah,
but
that's all.
It is good soil to plant your seed in, because, you know, you're partnering with us as we spread the gospel. So the grace that God gives us spreads out to everybody who partners with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It certainly does. Wow. Shell, do you have anything you want to say on that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm personally broke right now. But you know, I think that God gives us gifts, and we all go through different seasons in our life. And you know, I was in a position before to give a lot more, but honestly, I'm one of those people right now, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I can't tithe. I'm in school. We're broke. But I try, you know, in other ways to serve in some capacity. And I think that the message there is, if you can't give financially, maybe ask if there's other ways that you can contribute to our ministry, whether it's through the prayer line or, you know, attending or somehow helping out with ideas to brainstorm in the future. But yeah, I mean, we need some money to keep this word going and
Amen.
To keep us on the radio waves. And I mean, as soon as I'm set and done with school, I'm surely going to contribute. I know where a lot of my money is going to go to.
There you go. And, you know, I like that you said there are different times in our lives where we are more able than others. But you know what? The overriding thing of all this, in 15 years of ministry, I've been the pastor of Beacon of Hope for 15 years, guys, 15 and a half. And I will tell you, there have been times when we just had tons of money and times when we didn't have much at all. But it doesn't matter, because God takes care of us week after week, and so
find a way.
He always does, and so we give him all the glory and the praise for that. So if you want to know more about the work at Beacon of Hope, go to our website, www.bohmglobal.com, and there are we hit our 500th show back in October, so there's well over 400 shows on our website. Are there not? I don't even know how. We have a huge website. But you want to speak to that, PJ, before we do this next song?
Well, it's interesting, and what I really like is you can go back over the years, and I think they're in there by title. You can look at like titles. Maybe a title intrigues you. Maybe you like hearing one particular person on the radio. I think it's listed in there. You can do that. But I mean, it's like just a whole library of word-based teaching.
Absolutely.
And you have access to it 24/7.
Amen. Middle of the night when you can't sleep.
Yeah.
Woo! We're going to do a song here, and then we're going to get back to 2 Kings 5. So if you just joined us, go there. We're talking about Naaman, and this really applies to Naaman. It's redeemed by the group Big Daddy Weave. Love this song. Love this song. Just used it on one of my Spanish shows in Spanish. It's beautiful. Me redimí. Ha-ha. Love it.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight. It's already been won. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Been redeemed. We're redeemed by the blood of Jesus, dear one. We're redeemed because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And we're talking here today about Naaman in 2 Kings 5, and he's going to get a brand new lease on life after he deals with his own issues of arrogance and pride and resistance and rebellion and stubbornness and control issues. I mean, this guy had it all. He had the whole package, Pastor Jim. And then he's going to get redeemed, isn't he, in our story here?
Yes, because he finally obeys what the prophet said.
Yes.
Goes down to the Jordan, dips himself in 7 times. And comes up, and it, scripture says his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child.
Woo!
And he was clean.
Yes.
You know, so he got healed of his leprosy.
He got healed.
And that's pretty amazing. I mean, he got his skin back.
That's crazy.
That's a great thing. And what's even greater is the first thing he does, he goes back to see Elisha,
mm-hmm.
and this time Elisha comes out, And in verse 15, he says, he said, "Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel."
Yeah. Wow.
Now, that's a very, very yes. significant statement yes. because here's this pagan man who probably had a belief in several gods.
Right.
Saying, "No, not anymore. Just the God of Israel."
Right. He's been redeemed.
He's been redeemed. He's come to know God. He's
yes.
come to know the Lord.
Yes.
And it puts to shame the king.
Right.
Most of the northern kingdom of
right.
Israel, because they were still trying to decide whether Baal was God or Yahweh was God.
Right.
They just couldn't make up their minds. And here's this pagan gets healed and becomes basically a witness for the God of Israel.
Oh, yeah. Becomes a little missionary right
yeah.
here, you know? Because he saw God move in his circumstances after he submitted in obedience to what God asked him to do, which mm-hmm. is huge right here. And this is where so many people miss it, because they want to stick with their own old ideas of how things should be and won't open themselves up to how God wants to do it. And talk to us, Shell.
Well, you know, I think it's a wonderful story, because you took somebody who was, you know, hoity-toity.
How do you spell that? How do you spell that, English professor? Hoity-toity.
Look it up. That's a homework assignment.
Wow.
He was just on his high horse, you know. And
yes,
and
he was. Yeah.
He got knocked down a peg, but it's
right.
through humility.
Right.
We witnessed the conversion of somebody who did not know the one true God.
Yes, yes.
And saw it through this story, how it came to fruition that he was converted to God and, you know, did away with all the other things, like, you know, I'm not sure about the idolatry, like, because he did offer money in return.
Right.
For being...
he didn't understand that...
For being healed.
He didn't understand that the gifts of God are with, you know, you don't have...
By grace.
Yeah,
and, you know,
by grace.
Pay back.
Yeah. You don't have to pay for it. Yeah.
But then you see the other naughty character.
Yeah, we're getting ready to talk
about
him.
Better.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Who
I'm
should
sorry.
Know better?
I don't want to give a spoiler away.
No, that's okay. We're getting ready to talk about him. That's a good point. But, you know, that when you have a revelation, here's what I want to say. When you have a revelation of God's ability to straighten out your situation, it requires a life change. It's not something you can just flippantly say, "Oh, well, now I don't have leprosy." I mean, this was such a huge change for him. Sometimes our answers are not that huge, like a skin disease that goes away and we are miraculously healed, or healed of brain cancer or whatever. But even in our daily little answers, let's call them little answers to prayer, when we see those and see God moving in perfect timing, we should basically have an attitude of, "Oh God, thank you." We should have an attitude of gratitude, is what I'm trying to say. And Naaman did have an attitude of gratitude. But so often we wait for the great big things to happen, and we forget that even the little parts of our day that work out better or work out the way God wants them to are also times that we should be giving praise and gratitude. Talk to us, PJ, about all that.
Well, every time God moves, it should elicit a response on our part.
Right.
You know, I was thinking of the woman caught in the act of adultery.
Yeah.
"Where are your accusers?" Well, they've all gone. And Jesus said, "Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more."
Right.
So, and then somebody that he healed, he said the same thing to. I mean, when God moves, he wants a response from us toward him.
Exactly.
You know, it's, you know, if anything, that would be our payment, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. That's the correct response.
Would be our increased obedience.
Right.
I'll say it that way. It's
increased obedience, submission, and I believe giving God the glory and the credit. And I think a lot of times we just chalk off these amazing things that happen to us as, oh, that would have happened anyway. That wasn't God. That just happened that way. We chalk off so often life's miraculous things that God has engineered and arranged things to happen a certain way as, oh, well, that would have just happened anyway type thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have happened anyway. Well, no, maybe not.
Maybe not. Shell, talk to me about that, because you understand the thing I'm trying to say. We got to get to the point where we see God in every little thing.
I know what you're getting at, and I think I still honestly struggle with that because I, by nature, have always been kind of a cynical person, and I have been trying to make a conscious effort for a long time to see the good in every situation and in every person.
Right.
And also to be grateful just that, you know, I have meals to eat, I have transportation to get around, I have the opportunity to go to school, so many things, you know, I take for granted that if I were in like a third world country, you know, I just
right.
wouldn't have any of these things.
Exactly.
And there's so many people out there who are hurting, who are suffering, and I forget that. And even just to have a sunny day, I need to be grateful for that, even if that's the only thing I can think of.
But oh, I
you
know.
Should always try, just out of habit, I guess, to thank God.
Right.
And the more you do that, I think the more your mindset transforms into that of gratitude, you know?
I'm
working
does.
On it.
You know, it does. You know, my kids, Mark and his wife, Candy, moved to Indiana for a job. He's a law professor. And they went a couple years ago. And they were a little concerned about, you know, the gloomy days. But Florida kids, you know, they said, oh, we'll be fine. And, you know, then circumstances changed. The law school is not able to continue. And so Mark now has a new job. They're getting ready to move in April to Texas, and he'll be teaching at Texas State, which is amazing. And but they said, you know, to be perfectly honest, we're so looking forward to getting back in a climate where the sun shines most of the time instead yeah. of just once every 30 or 40 days. And you know, it just reminded me of the kids, because Shell, so often we take for granted those things, those blessings. You know, we live in sunny Florida, but a lot of people around the world don't, and
yeah.
don't have some of those benefits. And kind of a little trivial example, but they're pretty grateful to be going to Texas. So after 2 years in Indiana, PJ, you and I grew up in Indiana. We know all about that, right?
Oh, yes, we do.
Gloomy days. Yeah, you're sorry. So, but Shell, you're right. To make the point, there's so often we get off track because we don't give God the credit for these things. Naaman did. Naaman had a conversion, Pastor Jim. He understood who healed him, did he not?
Yes, he absolutely did. He knew it was the God of Israel.
Right. And he gave him the credit, you know? And so he offers to pay for this. And, you know, Elisha says, are you kidding me? No. You're not paying me for this. And actually, Naaman had brought with him approximately $77,370 from the king of his king to pay for his healing, plus 10 changes of clothes. That's what he brought with him.
It was 750 pounds of silver.
Right. It was like crazy amount. I mean, those donkeys or camels or whatever.
They must have had a...
That would have been hard to move
well, they
with
must,
that.
Yeah, they must have had a hole. Bunch of donkeys. Yeah, they must have had a whole bunch of camels or donkeys or both.
But they had the belief that you had to pay for your healing, that you had to, you're going to have to pay. Yeah.
Right. I mean, and I think, you know, you assume that, you know, I'll give you this for doing this. And even, I mean, even if he offered it as a gift, Elisha rightly said, no, this wasn't my doing. It was God's doing.
Absolutely. And I want to make the point, because we were talking about money for the ministry earlier. You're not paying for, when you give money, it is giving money to God because you love him and you desire to support his work. But you're not paying for, quote unquote, a prayer to be sent out for you or something like that. Right? PJ, do you want to clarify that? I mean,
no, absolutely. I mean, you give to a ministry in order to support that ministry's work of sending out the gospel.
Right.
You know, we give us money, don't give us money. We're still going to pray for you.
Right.
We'll still pray for your healing.
Exactly. You don't pay for it.
Exactly.
You don't pay for it.
You know, but if God, if you feel led to give, then give.
Sure.
But if you don't, then that's fine too. We're still going to pray for you. We're still going to believe with you.
And God is still going to meet our needs.
And God is still going to meet our needs.
So Naaman says, I want to pay you, Elisha. And Elisha says here in about verse 18, as God lives, the God whom I serve, I'll take nothing from you. Naaman tried his best to get him to take something, but he wouldn't do it. So Naaman said, now you want to explain this next 17 and 18, or is it, 17 and 18 to us, PJ?
Well, in pagan cultures, it was assumed you could only worship the god or the gods if you had some of their native soil. Like if you were in Syria and you wanted to worship one of the Syrian gods, you would need to bring some of the dirt from their from their to wherever you were going.
Right.
Obviously, we know that ain't true.
No.
But it was just a custom.
Right.
That you would do that. So that's why Naaman asks for 2 mule loads of dirt.
Right.
From the land of Israel. Kind of like, we would call it in charismatic terms, a point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted something
to remind him of the
yeah. God of Israel. Yes. So why not take dirt?
Right.
Or soil.
Right.
So he loads up two donkey loads full of soil, dirt from Israel, the land of Israel, to take back with him. And he says, now, I do have a moral issue here, because being the king's right-hand man, and especially now that he's healed of leprosy, he will be expected to go with the king when the king goes in to worship his God.
Right.
And he says, may God pardon me for. And I don't think he was saying, I'm going to go in and worship the god Rimnon.
No, he was just saying he's going to enter the building.
I have to go into the building, and that was bad enough for him. So that shows me kind of really
a changed heart.
He did not even want to go in the temple.
He did not want to. And he knew who had healed him. It was Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, that had healed him, and he knew it. So he didn't want to pay a homage, or whatever you want to say, to that false god. I think this is his song, You Deliver Me. By who? Who did that one? Selah? All right. Love this song. Naaman's song.
Deep as the ocean, right as a rain, this powerful emotion lifts me up above the plain. It's taking me to places I never thought I'd go, showing me a grace I never thought I'd know. When I feel like I can't go on, you deliver me. And when the road is winding way too like a sinner whose sins have been washed clean, an absolute beginner whose heart has never seen. I must be forgiven for sometimes asking why I was chosen to be given you. When the road
Yes, you deliver us, God Almighty, and we love you for that. We praise your holy name today, God, because you are our deliverer. You do see our circumstances, and you do see our needs, and you heal our bodies, and you refresh our minds and our emotions, and you bring us into a new place in you. And God, you deliver us like you did Naaman. You deliver us because you love us, and we are grateful, and we bow before you, and we bow and submit to you, because, Lord, you are our deliverer. You're the healer of our bodies, and you're the one who makes our crooked paths straight, and you lead us, and you guide us, and you take us by the hand. You deliver us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And amen. And he certainly delivered Naaman, did he not, Pastor Jim?
Oh, he surely did.
Oh, my.
It's amazing. It. Not only did he heal him, not only did God heal Naaman, but he gave him a new life.
Yes.
You know, gave him a new life. And I just thought of something. We have no record that he was ever circumcised. Because to enter in the covenant back then, you had to be.
Right.
But I got a feeling he's in heaven.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We'll see. We'll talk to him. He had a heart change.
Yes, he did have a heart change.
He may not have had a flesh change, but he had a heart change.
Good.
And, you know, the point is, so often, folks, we just get so burdened with God not doing things the way we think he should do. And he's saying, come to me. Let me take that burden off of you. Let me take that fear and that anxiety off of you. And let me do it my way. And I love it. And you know, Elisha's servant was watching all this, and his heart was bad. He had a bad heart.
He had a greedy heart.
And there are people in our lives and around us that don't have a heart after God. Shell, talk to me about that, because we all know people in our lives that we're just thinking, man, you got a bad heart. You got a bad heart. You're not right. You know what I'm saying, Shell?
Yeah, and I mean, you try to change them if you care about them.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, they have to come to that themselves.
Right. Yeah, and the ones that sometimes they're everywhere. That sometimes the ones we're the closest to, we see that they don't have a heart after God, and sometimes God says, okay, that's enough. Just walk your walk and leave that person to do what they want to do. But you're right, Shell. So often we try to change them into what we want them to be. But and I think Elisha had to be pretty disappointed over the next few paragraphs here. PJ, you want to lay this out, what happened in 2 Kings 5, 19 and on?
Yeah, well, Elisha sends Naaman away in peace without accepting. And it's another thing came to me, what the people that would accept gifts would be the pagan soothsayers and the false prophets
right.
in the land of Judah and
right.
Israel. You know, Jeremiah says, I'm paraphrasing, but they'll prophesy peace if you put money in the pot,
yeah.
you know, and that's about right. And Elisha was not about to be
corrupt religious leaders.
Yeah. Elisha was not about to be cast
Like that.
So no. He said, no, this is free. It's free gift. It's grace. It's from God. Thank you so much. See you later.
Right.
And so Naaman goes on his way, and Gehazi says.
And who's Gehazi?
That's Elisha's servant.
Mm-hmm. Should have known better. That's my point.
Well, he should have. He's been walking around with Elisha. He's seen all this happen.
That's right.
You think of Elijah and Elisha and how Elisha watched Elijah and had a true heart to fulfill that ministry. Gehazi, on the other hand, did not. And he just kind of was there to see what he could get. And so he thought, you know what? I think I'm going to get in on this. So he goes trotting off after Naaman. And says, okay, this is what's happened. A couple of the sons of the prophets have come visit. So I need some cash. And my master says, you know, give me a talent of silver and 2 changes of clothes. And Naaman, you got to love this about him. He's just so generous. Take two. Instead of 75 pounds of silver, take 100.
Take 150 pounds
take
of silver. 150. Yeah, go ahead while you're at it. Just take two.
So, you know, so Gehazi does. And then he goes back and he, you know, like, hides the money. And I'm sorry, but duh, Elisha's a prophet.
Right. But, you know, he didn't bank on that because, in my opinion here, Gehazi still has not had a real revelation of God.
Right.
And
oh,
his
absolutely.
Ability because he just sees this as an opportunity for him to get financial gain.
Right.
And nobody will know about it. And don't we all know people like that?
Right. Oh, exactly. And in,
you know?
In verse 25, he says, you know, he'd hidden the money to... And he went and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, where have you been, Gehazi? And he said, your servant's been nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that point. Stop right there a minute. And I want to talk to Shell about this too. Shell, don't we all know people in our lives that think that nobody sees their heart, their brokenness, their evil, their wrong motivations, all that? Don't we know people like that?
Well, there's people in all kinds of position of power and influence
yes,
who
right.
are that way. But, you know, I guess the message here is, you know, he lied.
Right.
The servant lied to a prophet, like, right. you know, PJ was saying. And we try to lie to God.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get over on him.
Right.
You can't get one over on him.
Be sure your sins will find you out. Right.
Everything, and like we always seem so preoccupied with making sure that our scheming ways, and I say we because I'm just talking about the human condition,
right?
You know, hiding it from each other, but ultimately you're not getting away with anything because at the end,
right.
you're going to have to answer for everything.
Right. Yes. I mean, so true.
So these people, you need to not worry about them because you're always going to be the victim of them. You're going to be victimized by them. But you
right.
have to keep in mind that in the end, God is going to punish them. You know, no one anywhere here in the world can be, you know, punished for pride. You can't be arrested for that.
Right.
And you can't be arrested for whatever you're not caught doing, but... God will get them in the end.
Well, it's that verse, be sure your sins will find you out. It's the verse in Romans 6:23 that says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? It's the fact that God is all-knowing. God is everywhere at the same time. We call that...
omniscient and omnipresent.
Well, very good, Shell. All right, that is what we call it. Isn't there another omni, PJ?
Omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent.
Omnipotent, yes, all powerful. So, you know, when we forget that, like Gehazi obviously forgot it, then we short sell God on his abilities and his knowledge of us. PJ, did you want to comment on that?
Well, I was going to say Gehazi should have read Psalm 139.
Yeah, the God knows us from the time we were created in the
right.
mother's
and
womb.
If I, what's that line? If I make my bed and
uh-huh.
if I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol,
right,
you're there. So it don't matter. Even, you know, even in the resting place of the dead souls
right.
back then, God's still there.
David wrote,
and you can't hide.
You can't. Psalm 139, David wrote, which I quote sometimes in funerals, where David says of God, you knew me in my mother's womb, you know, when I was created, when I was conceived in secret, you knew me. And which also goes a long way to say that, you know, we are created and we are human and we are a living soul from the very moment of conception. And we won't get off on that discussion, dialogue, or whatever you want to call it. But biblically, we are created and by God, and God knows us implicitly, every part of us. Mm-hmm. Go back to that, Shell, about his omnipotence and his omniscience and his omnipresence.
Well, I'll just it's, I don't know, the servant, there's no other way to put it, was an idiot. I mean, he hung out with Elijah.
And, yeah.
And he probably witnessed all kinds of miracles.
Right. Yes.
He was right there to see it all, which, you know, in our day, it's very rare if we happen to see a miracle or not. But
right.
All the more, his faith.
Yes.
His connection to God should have been so much stronger, yet between him and Naaman, who was a pagan, Naaman comes out victorious, and this guy, who knew better and should probably be held more accountable because of it,
right,
ended up lying and trying to hide it from a prophet and lying, you know, to God,
right,
by proxy.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, that's, you can't.
You can't. And,
you're going to have to answer for it all.
But people do it all the time, and they think that nobody sees or God doesn't know that they have this yuck in their heart. I like to call it yuck because that's really what it is. Go ahead, PJ, with that. Thank you, Shell. That's right on. That's what we're talking about here.
It's exactly right. He did not believe in the power of God.
Right.
It's like he just thought he could get away with it. And Elisha said, no, you know, wasn't my heart with you the whole time?
Right. And what it was Elisha was flowing in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was so in tune, and this is where we need to be on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, that we're in tune with God enough that we sense his direction for a situation. We sense what he's doing in a given moment in time, that we are that in tune with him, that he's our friend, he's our helper, he walks with us, he lives in us, with us and in us, Jesus said in John 14. The Holy Spirit was going to come, and he was going to live with us and in us. And Elisha is a perfect example of that, and Gehazi had to have seen it for a long time in his master, don't you
right.
think?
Well, and two, what Elisha says here, I was looking at this earlier, and it's like, what an odd thing to say. But he said, is it a time to receive money and to receive clothes and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female servants? So apparently Gehazi had this plan. He was going to go buy himself some land.
Right.
And settle down. And Elisha's saying, my job's not done yet, which means your job's not done yet either if you're going to be my servant.
Right.
You know, prophets tended to be fairly mobile at that time. I mean, you know, they were always moving around, going here and there and prophesying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Elisha said, the work's not done yet.
Right.
This is not the time to settle down.
To retire.
Right. I mean, apart from the fact he was trying to merchandise God's grace.
You know, this just reminds me, I think you both were at the table a couple of years ago when we had one of those church dinners at my house, and somebody that was not a regular attender at Beacon looked across the table at me and said, aren't you about the same age as me? And I said, I'm not sure. And then she said what her age was, and I said, yeah, up close, year or two apart. She goes, when are you going to retire? Were you guys there at the table? Were you, PJ?
I think I remember.
Shell, I don't know if you were there at the table or not. And I said, and I'll tell you later who this person was. And I said, never. And she said, what do you mean never? You're getting older. You're a grandmother.
And now you're a great-grandmother.
Now I'm a great-grandmother. And I said, absolutely. You don't retire from the ministry, the work of the Lord. You don't retire from that. That's the principle of what you're saying right here, PJ, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Elisha wasn't done. It didn't matter how old he was. In fact, we see a story in 2 Kings where some kids called him Old Baldhead. So he was older. You know,
and that was even earlier than this story.
Yeah, so he was an older guy in the ministry, And I mean, look at Corrie Ten Boom. Look at people that have been in the ministry. Billy Graham is 90-something. Yeah, he's not doing those crusades, but he's still actively involved in the work of the Lord. And I tell you what, we don't retire when we're in the ministry. And that's what Gehazi was getting at, wasn't he, Pastor Jim? That he wanted to stash away some money so he could go buy himself a little piece of land and settle down.
And I mean, that's the kind of the other level. I mean, obviously, like I said, again, it cheapened God's grace by charging for it.
Right.
But then he wanted to go out and just kind of settle down, have a nice, comfortable life.
Right.
And
retire.
Yeah, and the tables really got turned on that.
Absolutely. We'll finish that up in a minute. But I wanted to go back to this point of the Holy Spirit living in us, which these people didn't have that ability then,
right,
because that was before Jesus. And after Jesus, and as Jesus was going to heaven, he said, tarry here. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he will not only be with you, but in you. And I want to play a song that I was listening to again in the car earlier. Francesca, and how do you pronounce her last name? Battistelli. Yes. Holy Spirit is the name of the song.
Oh,
because
good song.
We're talking about the Holy Spirit right here. That's what we're talking about.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare.
Amen.
You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come.
Praise God.
Woo!
God is what I Amen. Let us become more aware, God, of your presence.
Overcome by your presence.
Yes, Lord. Lord, that's the desire of our hearts. We want to be overcome by your presence. Lord, we don't want to give up this race. We want to press on. We want to press on with all that is within us. We want to be so in tune with your Holy Spirit within us that we really, really sense your nudging and you're talking to us and you're laying things on our heart and that we're just in tune with what you would have for any given moment. Oh, God, that is the cry of our hearts this day. Lord, we thank you for your presence among us. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we can hear your voice and feel your nudge and know your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah. I've been praying a lot during this show.
Yeah, you have been.
I don't know. You know, it just overwhelms you, you know? Oh, go ahead, PJ, and then we'll hear from Shell here.
Well, it was important because even back then, I mean, the Holy Spirit moved. He would come upon people like he did Samson and some of the other judges, and they would do great exploits like he did with Elisha. He would come upon Elisha, and Elisha would prophesy, like he did in Naaman's case, tell Naaman how to get healed. Apparently, he wasn't doing that with Gehazi. Now, I do think...
And that was probably Gehazi's fault.
Probably so.
Because we see Gehazi's heart.
Because otherwise, we see his heart. So he wasn't quite there. And, he because of his arrogance, Gehazi's arrogance.
Right, exactly.
He suffered a terrible.
Oh, look at the consequences of sin here.
Yeah,
because it's his sin because he robbed. He stole what was not his. To steal. I mean, it was not...
Under the pretense
right.
of...
He lied.
Doing something for God.
He lied. He stole.
And, ended up, the leprosy. Elisha said, the leprosy that was on Naaman is going to stick to you and your descendants forever.
That's crazy.
That's... And yet leprosy itself, of course, is symbolic of sin.
Right.
And it says he went out of his presence white as snow.
So, I mean, it hit him immediately. Oh, my gosh. Shell, talk to us about that. Woo. Be sure your sins will find you out.
Yeah, I'm still trying to take the whole thing in. And, I often, I'm just grateful that I didn't live back in those times. Because
right.
I might have been Gehazi. We're all sinners.
Right.
And I'm just grateful that. Jesus did come. Because
yes, amen.
I might have ended up with leprosy. I don't know. I just think that the Holy Spirit, though, just talking about that, you can tell when the Holy Spirit is within you because your radar comes on, you're extra sensitive.
Right, yes.
And more aware of when
yes.
you are sinning. You're more
mm-hmm.
aware of the bad language you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Your moral compass is more attuned to true north,
That's so true. That's so true. And it is that whole thing of abiding with him in mm-hmm. John 15, where Jesus taught about the vine and the branches, that he's the vine and we're the branches. And he says in verse 4, and I'm in the Message Bible, John 15:4, he says, live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relationship, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. And then on down, if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. I love that. PJ, you want to comment on that? And we'll go back to Shell.
Yeah,
love that.
I like that too. Abiding is living in union with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think the Amplified says, living in vital union with.
It's, right. Yes.
You know, it's more than just being attached to. It's because
right.
a vine is more than attached to the branch. It draws its life from the
branch.
From
the branch. Yeah.
And that's what we have to do. We abide in Jesus when we draw our life. When we're in union with him, we draw our life from him. We fellowship with him. That's abiding.
Yes.
And that way, we do bear fruit. And if we draw that union from his words, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, my living
yes.
words are in you, then ask what you will and it'll be done.
Which, obviously, Gehazi wasn't living like that.
No.
But Elisha was. And we started the show with that song, Word of God Speak. And when we are that vitally united with him, we know we need the Word of God in our mm-hmm. lives. And when we go weeks or days and we're not in the Word or we're not worshiping God, there is a void. We know something's wrong in our lives. We're disconnected to the vine. You know, we've got to have that connection with the Word of God. Word of God Speak. Talk to me, Shel.
Yeah, I think you just kind of start to wither, like, you know.
Yeah.
A flower and
yeah.
that hasn't received enough water or hasn't gotten enough to eat.
Right.
Like that, you know, we take care of ourselves every day.
Yeah.
Bare minimum by, if we're thirsty, we'll take a drink of something or we'll feed ourselves. But,
right.
The spiritual bread is what we need every day. And, you know, I can always tell a difference if I've been away from it.
Yes.
And I think it is critical that you not only have the one-on-one time to stay connected and attuned to what God wants, but to also be among others.
Yes.
Christian believers, make them your circle of friends.
Right.
Because they're almost a stronger lifeline to God than sometimes your own blood family, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh, yes. I so agree. Words of wisdom right there.
And so fellowship among
yes.
each other is a,
very
is a necessity.
Important. It
know?
Is.
Even if we have differences or we're not all alike, we do have a commonality.
That's right.
That's God.
Amen. We are coming up on, we only got a couple minutes, so PJ, I'm going to go to you for a final word, and then Shel, I'll come to you. And then we'll wrap it up. And I can't believe 2 hours has gone by that quickly.
Again,
it's just amazing how quickly this show goes by for us. I don't know about y'all, but for us. So go ahead, PJ.
Well, the thing that's always stuck out to me with the story of Naaman is that we cannot put God in a box.
Right.
He will do what he wants to do the way he's going to do it. And it may not, we just need to be open to that. We need to have an openness and not try and put God in our preconceived notions of what he should do or how he should do it. Because
right.
I'm not saying he's capricious, but he's certainly the God of surprises.
Yes, he is.
You know, he kind of
right.
keeps you on your toes. And, but again, like we talked about with the Holy Spirit, as we abide in Jesus and abide in the Holy Spirit,
right.
it's not going to be a surprise because we're going to say, oh, you want to do it that way this time? Okay, let's go. Let's
be curious. Let's
yeah,
find
be
out.
Be curious. Let's find out what God wants to do.
Exactly. Pastor Jim, what a blessing you are. And I'm telling you, you're the best associate pastor any pastor could have. So I'm very grateful to you. You're a wonderful inspiration to all of us at Beacon of Hope, all those Beaconites. And Shel, we love you and we appreciate you as a part of this team and part of the leadership of the prayer ministry. Do you have anything you'd like to say to sum up?
Thank you for your kind words. I love being a part of the ministry. You know, I guess just the takeaway is, you know, humble yourself, try to be grateful in all situations, be obedient. You know when you're being naughty, you do.
Right.
You have that compass, that moral compass.
That's right.
Because once you've accepted Jesus, you know right from wrong.
Yeah, you
Amen.
Do.
So just persevere, stay open-minded when you are praying, you know, and as you said, be patient and, you know, the modern song, be willing to let Jesus take the wheel, give up that control.
Amen. All right. You're great. Thank you, Shel. Thank you, Pastor
Thank
Jim.
You.
And guess what, guys? it's that time already. Can't believe it, but it is. It's not far to Jesus. God bless every single one of you. We're so glad you joined us today. This has been Beacon of Hope Ministries weekly show. Now almost 10 years of it. Every single Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern, join us each week and tell others about our show. Join us on Wednesday nights now, 7:30 live, Eastern time, of course, on Facebook Live. And the last couple hashtags were hashtag Opportunity Knocks on Facebook and hashtag Unchangeable. And the one before that was hashtag Always With You. So catch some of those. Go and watch them. God will bless you as you do. And know that we are grateful for your listening and the fact that you are with us in prayer and whatever other form you take doing that, whether it's with your giving or whatever. God bless you. Have a great week. And know that it is not far to Jesus, because he is right there waiting on you and wanting to bless your life. So God bless you. Have a good week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, and Shell Lauren Gray. God bless you. Have a great week, guys. See you next week.